With SmackDown Move to Fridays, tonight it's all about wrestling nostalgia. Tonight, we're going over Eddie Guerrero and some of my favorite moments from his career. It all gets started right after this. All right, so we're going to get right back to the WWE podcast in a second, but I just want to talk quickly about a product I recently came across, and it's called Mirex, M-I-R-R-E-X. So for you guys out there, you may want to direct your female counterpart to this website. It's pretty cool. It's a makeup mirror, but it's much more than that. The company is based in Colorado, and just so you guys know, Mirex stands for the Innovative Mirror. They're here to improve the lifestyle of individuals, and they want to take a step into the future, and that they have. They have taken the makeup mirror and turned it into a smart makeup mirror. So what's this going to do? It's going to change the way the mirrors are used. There are three levels of LED light for those last-minute face checks, and you can even charge your phone wirelessly. It also has an attachment to take that really cool, well-lighted selfie. So you guys really got to check this out. This is really, I've never seen anything like this. It's Mirex.store, M-I-R-R-E-X.store. That's M-I-R-R-E-X.store. This is definitely one of the coolest things that I've seen, and it would make a great gift. So check out Mirex.store today.
It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you everybody for joining me. It's Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019. And normally, this would be the show where I talk about SmackDown and SmackDown Live. But in the wake of WWE changing their schedule to a Friday night SmackDown on Fox, and a massive one at that, I'm going to be adjusting the schedule a bit where Wednesdays today will be my wrestling nostalgia. Tomorrow will be the typical talk about everything in WWE week with my co-host, but Sunday, instead of wrestling nostalgia, I'll be discussing SmackDown Live, I have muscle memory issues with that show. We will be reviewing Friday Night SmackDown on Sunday, and you'll also get my not just analysis on that, but anything else that's been going on. So in short, I am swapping Sundays and Wednesdays. That's the gist of it. But so hopefully you guys enjoy that, and tomorrow I will be not only dropping one show, but two shows from not just my WWE Week in Review with my co-host, but also the AEW podcast. And I did happen to catch a little bit of AEW, and that was, it certainly has a different feel, I will tell you that, and that's not a bad thing. That's not a slight on AEW whatsoever, and I like what I saw with Cody Rhodes in the very first match. He ended up winning in about 12 minutes, and so hopefully I didn't spoil anything for you, but again, I didn't see the rest of the show, so I can't divulge any information there, but I like how they implemented time limits. They didn't go straight to punching and kicking, and it felt more sports-like. Simple, honest to God, easy to follow. A much more simplified product to digest than the WWE product. But I love both, and I know that there's a trending hashtag on Twitter, I'm with AEW, as if it's some kind of political affiliation that you're one party or the other and that you're not both. Why not both? Why not both? Why can't we as fans enjoy both products? I don't understand. Why can't we? Do we have to pledge our allegiance to one and the or the other? You can't have both? Or are you chastised if you enjoy both products? Aren't we all under the same umbrella of professional wrestling? WWE can deny what they are all they want. That they're entertainment, they're not really sports, that they're talent, that they put on performances like some kind of, school recital. they can deny all they want of their identity and try to hide behind all their charity works and terrible attempts at comedy. They are, at their core, a professional wrestling company. I know people in the business, in WWE, if they heard that, they would cringe or almost be insulted that I said that, as if it's some kind of derogatory statement that WWE is a professional wrestling company. They are. And you know how they entertain people? They're so big on the E part of their WWE. They do wrestling. Wrestling is the entertainment. Amazing how that works and how simple it can be when you break it down. So, guys, again, thank you for listening. And so a lot of shows this week. And next week, get ready for this. Next week, I have 6 shows dropping for you. My 4 and then AEW and an NXT podcast coming to you for your listening pleasure next week. So get ready. This show's about ready to explode, and I thank you, everybody. I say that every time, but I really thank you for listening to the show. Wouldn't be what it is without you, and we're going to continue to grow and evolve, and I hope you're going to join us on that ride, because I think it's going to be a good one. By the way, guys, if you would like to if you'd like to join the party and support the show, you can do that by either supporting us on a podcast app and leaving a review, maybe hopefully 5-star, right? Fingers crossed. Or you can head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast and you can get yourself an ad-free listening experience, exclusive video, and a shout-out on the show. And speaking of shout-outs on the show, I would like to give a shout-out to the latest patron of the show, Michael Allen Coase. Oh, boy. I apologize if I didn't say that correctly. But Michael, I know I got that right. Thank you so much for being the latest patron of the show. Your patronage is much appreciated, and I hope you enjoy your completely ad-free listening experience. And feel free to join Michael if you'd like and get yourself on board. I'm going to be doing a lot more stuff that's exclusive to Patreon and not just, you know, videos here and there and ad-free content, but a lot more stuff that I'm going to try to whet your appetite with and join the team, and I encourage you to do so. But, all right, well, guys, thank you. And one little comment I would like to make. I had a couple of people kind of reach out to me, I'll just say that, and say that, oh, you should rename your show. If you're covering AEW, how are you the WWE podcast? You need to rename the show. It's false advertising. First of all, I don't need to rename a damn thing. Number one, I am not copywriting infringing on anything, by the way. WWE can have their logo, of which I've changed my own so that I'm not infringing upon their trademark logos. But WWE does not own the letters WWE. You know, like part of the alphabet, WWE does not own those 3 letters. So that being said, I'm pretty sure I'm good to go on WWEpodcast.com and the name of the show. And I'm not going to be renaming it because I'm covering another wrestling promotion. If you would like to listen to WWE analysis only, well, guess what? That's 5 out of the 6 shows of the week. And you know what you don't have to do? You don't have to click on the one that says AEW Dynamite Review. How about that? How about that? Just some food for thought, really. All right. But today I'm going to be covering something near and dear to my heart, and as it's now the Wrestling Nostalgia segment on a Wednesday, which feels a little weird, but we'll get used to it as WWE adjusts their schedule here. It's something near and dear to my heart because, and you guys may have already heard me talk a little bit about this in past shows, Eddie Guerrero, who will be the focus of today's show, was a wrestler that I connected with on a deep level. That it sounds silly, right? It sounds silly that you connected with somebody that was a TV character you've never met in real life and you know is not their true 100% legitimate off-camera persona, right? But sometimes there's just something you can't explain as to why somebody has touched you the way they have. And Eddie Guerrero passed away on November 13th, 2005, at the age of 38. And that is, really young. I mean, I'm 34. So if I had only 4 years left, that would be, I guess it kind of puts things in perspective as to how young Eddie Guerrero was when he passed in 2005. And one of the most talented performers ever, ever. Promotion, decade, era, I don't care what criteria you choose, Eddie Guerrero would be on and should be in anybody's top 10. I really believe that. I know that top 10 lists and Mount Rushmores of wrestling are extremely subjective, but you can make a case that Eddie Guerrero, his natural talent and charisma was contagious. It bled through the screen that you were watching. He was extremely charismatic, charming. He could make you laugh, make you angry. He had a really, really wide range of skills when it came to making you feel emotions. And that's a huge, huge asset to have, not just as an actor playing a movie in a part, playing a part in a movie or a TV show, but specifically in wrestling. Because what do you do when you feel emotions? It's part of being a human being. You get caught up in the story automatically. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to reason with yourself. It just happens because you are a human being. That's who we what we are. That's how our brains are wired. And when you possess the skill of being able to make people feel emotion and use that skill to tell a story, that's money. That is money waiting to be printed. And Eddie Guerrero possessed that skill at a level that I don't know if it has been matched to date. Yes, you had your top draws. Hogan, Flair, Rock, Austin, Taker, Triple H, Savage, Warrior, Andre. Go down the line. But none of them, in my estimation, and Stone Cold's still my number one, but for somebody to make you feel something so deep, for somebody that you've never met and you consciously know that what you're watching is not a true depiction of who they are and it's still fantasy land that you're watching, for all of that to be taken into consideration and you still feel the way you do, at least I did, and I think many others did as well, based on the fact that, hey, it's been, 2005, 14 years almost, and people still chant Eddie. People still chant for Eddie. People that I have spoken with personally feel similarly that I do. And you know what? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're sitting there going, yeah, he was a good guy, a good performer, but I don't know. He never really did it for me. And that's fine. That's fine. We all have our own opinions on who we had a connection with and why. But Eddie Guerrero, who made a name for himself in WCW, no doubt, but I didn't see until he came to WWE. I may have seen him in passing in WCW. I was not a WCW guy. Never was. I really wasn't. The product just never did it for me. Monday Nitro never grabbed me. Not even close to the way Monday Night Raw did. I was a product of the 90s Monday Night Wars. And so I don't know. But he actually debuted, Eddie Guerrero debuted on September 5th, 1986. Believe it or not. And he was born on October 9th, 1967. So he debuted in 1986. And he began wrestling as the original Mascara Magica in CMLL until his departure in 1992. Then he left the company to pursue a career with AAA. And from there, I mean, he's been to New Japan. He was in New Japan in 1993. He He went to ECW in 1995 and then really started to gain notoriety in 1989 when he debuted in WCW. And he returned to WCW in late 95 with Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit. Again, he had worked with them in New Japan and ECW, and he had a championship reign in 1996. He received several shots at the United States Heavyweight Championship against Conan at Uncensored and Ric Flair at Hog Wild. So he also feuded with Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen during the 1996. During 96 and after Guerrero's partner Arn Anderson turned on him during a tag team match against Ric Flair and Randy Savage. And guys, if you want to know where the hell I'm getting this, it sounds kind of like I'm reading. Well, it's because I am. And the reason I'm only reading this part of it is because I didn't see this. I did not see any of this because I was not drawn into the WCW product. And hell, in 1989 and 95, I was, what, 4 years, 5 years, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 years old? Yeah, I did not watch wrestling at that age. Again, I didn't get into it until 97. But he joined WWF, and this is where my memories of him begin. And he debuted on January 31st, 2000, as part of the Radicals, if you remember. They interfered in a match involving the New Age Outlaws and established themselves as babyfaces. In that Radicals formation was Perry Saturn. And boy, maybe I should just do a podcast on him too. The whole Moppy thing. Anybody remember Moppy? Of course you do. The most ridiculous thing ever. But I don't know why I found that so damn funny. I remember probably the best one of Moppy. Not when he... didn't somebody put him in a wood chipper or something? I don't know. Is when Moppy was sitting there at a table with him and Perry Saturn was playing Yahtzee with him and he yelled Yahtzee and he hit his head and then he knocked himself out again. But when he wakes up and sees the dice, he realizes he gets Yahtzee and hits his head again. It's just this cycle. I don't know why that sticks out in my head as being really funny. But nonetheless, and another thing very on off track, but I came across that I've forgotten about. Remember the Tim White suicide videos? Oh my God. Remember with Tim White and Josh Matthews, the referee Tim White? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just YouTube it. YouTube Tim White, WWE suicide or whatever, and Josh Matthews interviews. I mean, they did like 20 of them. Just imagine that today and the PR it would get. Oh my God. Again, if you haven't seen them, you don't know what I'm talking about. But those who have, think about that. Think about what that was. Tim White trying to commit suicide on WWE TV because he had a career-ending injury that accidentally happened to him during Hell in a Cell. He ended up tearing up his shoulder. And, boy, it is jarring to say the least. If you haven't seen them, check it out. If you know you're, let me make sure that I'm 2019-ing this and I'm woke enough to say the right terminology. It's a trigger. If you are triggered by suicide stuff, I would not watch it. There, was I woke enough? God, I hate 2019 terminology and snowflakes. All right, moving on. I'm going to get heated. So Guerrero came in, you know, he gravitated towards China. If we all remember that, he was trying to win the affections of China. He referred to her as Mamacita. And at the time, China was allies with Jericho. And initially, she kind of pushed him off. But the night after WrestleMania 2000, Guerrero faced off against Jericho for the European Championship. And during the match, China turned on Jericho and helped Guerrero win. And later explained her actions by declaring that she couldn't resist his Latino heat. Man, you talk about hitting two home runs at once. The Mamacita thing, who doesn't remember Mamacita and Latino heat? I mean, it's just two things, two home runs in one night. So that was a pretty cool pairing with these two. great chemistry. I remember, him trying to advance on her, and she would brush him off. And I know Mark Henry did the same thing with Chyna, and he took her out on a date to a bar. And so Chyna is one that I should probably do a whole show on too. I have not even touched Chyna, and I probably should. And she was a hell of a trailblazer. Let me just say that. And I'll leave it at that, and I'll save the rest of my thoughts for another show. But back to Eddie Guerrero. You know, he then went to the independent scene after being arrested for drunk driving on November 9th, 2001. Not a good deal. So we went to the independents for a year or so, and then returned to the WWF on April 1st, 2002 by attacking RVD, Rob Van Dam. And so Guerrero was well known for his demons. Alcohol and painkillers were his demons, and eventually they got the best of him. And I know that his abuse of those drugs weakened his heart and ultimately just caused a heart attack. Those are very well documented demons that he had, and it's just sad. But moving on. So in his final feuds here in 2004, 2005, as we all know, culminated in Eddie Guerrero defeating Brock Lesnar at No Way Out. I think I went over this match too in another show, so I won't repeat myself, but that was to me his crowning moment, and as it should have been. But that is a match that you talk about people not being super invested in, and having him and have showing his ability to reel the audience in. And by the time he was done with them, he had them hook, line, and sinker. Every move, they celebrated with him. It was just awesome. Just an awesome moment. If you haven't seen the 2004 No Way Out match with Brock Lesnar, it's a must see. But I think I did a whole show on that one, so I won't get too much into that. And so it led all the way to his final match, which was against Mr. Kennedy, and he defeated him by DQ using his signature lie, cheat, and steal tactics. And the stipulations there allowed him to advance the SmackDown Survivor Series team. And I remember that. I remember that match. That match with Mr. Kennedy was, if there was a way to go out, it was to be vintage, as Michael Cole would phrase it. Vintage Eddie Guerrero, and have him do what brought him to the dance. There is nobody on this planet that could make lying, cheating, and stealing the cardinal sins. There's nobody that could have made it as charming as Eddie Guerrero did. And that's a hell of a skill. That's a hell of a skill to take things that are genuinely and universally panned and looked at as sins and terrible qualities. And yet you have a guy that is a babyface making it cool to do all three of those things. All right. Well, guys, at the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. There really isn't anything better, right? Sunday comes along where you got to go to work Monday, but football's always there for you, right? They're that like best friend that comes with you on Sunday. They're always there. There's just nothing like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So how do you do that? You go to mybookie.ag. Easy, right? Mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. All you have to do is head to mybookie.ag. Just do the smart thing. If you're going to bet on football this season, just bet with mybookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, just try a parlay. If all of your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of the year to bet, hands down. Join now and mybookie will double your first deposit. Just use promo code WWE to activate the offer. That's promo code WWE to activate that offer of doubling your deposit. Go visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, well, what I want to do is just talk quickly, and then I'm going to give you some audio from this. is, I'm not trying to bring everybody down, but this to me, this is when I really realized, like, oh my God, you know, like, why am I so emotionally attached to somebody I didn't know, right? And that was the Monday Night Raw where they announced Eddie Guerrero's death, and it was 2005. And I remember very vividly that you guys may or may not care about my personal story on this, but I was in Coastal Carolina. That's where I went to school for a semester, and I not only end up staying one semester, but wish I had stayed more if I had known some things. But hey, that's a story for another day and another show. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. But I was there for a semester, and during that semester, I was watching Raw, or got up that morning, and on a Monday morning, and saw that Eddie Guerrero, it's a tragic loss. And I'm like, wait, what? And Eddie Guerrero, his picture was there on WWE.com because there was no social media at that time. Or there was only the Facebook or MySpace. Twitter didn't really exist. And so that's where you got your news, where Dirt Cheats, and you got him from WWE.com. And I remember seeing his picture and I'm like, holy crap. You know, like, what's going on? And WWE had their tribute show, and I remember sitting there, and my brother, who was in a fraternity, ended up doing his hazing night. I think that was his hazing night. It was Monday night or Tuesday night. I can't remember, but he was gone for his gathering for his fraternity. I'll leave it at that. And that fraternity is now banned from the campus, but that's neither here nor there, 14 years ago. And so I remember watching the show, and I'm sitting there crying, and I'm a 20-year-old dude. Like, you know, I should be out getting drunk. I'm in the prime of my party years. Why am I sitting here watching Raw when I could watch it later, and I'm crying like a schoolgirl who, you know, didn't get picked in gym class? And it was just, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait, how did that happen? But looking back, 14 years matured, it's clearly a compliment to Eddie Guerrero's ability to make people feel. And, you saw people in the crowd crying. Okay, I wasn't just sitting there being a loner going, I wasn't sobbing like a fool. But I was sitting there, I was tearing up, crying, man. I mean, that's just the way it was. And so here's a little bit from that Monday Night Raw, if you guys don't remember, or maybe I'll jog your memory. So here you go.
Eddie Guerrero has passed away. Eddie was in the prime of his life, 38 years old, in the prime of his career. So tonight, we celebrate the life of Eddie Guerrero. Eddie Guerrero loved this business. He loved it. He had a passion for it like no one else. Eddie loved to perform more than anything else, whether he's booed or whether he was cheered. He loved to perform for all of you. Eddie's goal every night was to steal the show. So tonight, there's no doubt in anyone's mind that Eddie would want the show to go on, and so it shall. Tonight, as we pay tribute to the memory of Eddie Guerrero. At this time, I would ask you all to stand in silence as we toll the bell 10 times, after which there will be a special video presentation. So if you would all please stand. Thank you.
And the bell goes on to toll 10 times. And then from there, we have the a very emotional video package of his career that outlined, you know, all the highlights and lowlights and everything else. And, you know, that is, I just remember sitting there, and, you know, as you go through those videos and you go through all of the superstar reactions to it, that were very genuine. It was extremely emotional. And I know you couldn't see, obviously you're just listening, but there were just people in the audience crying their eyes out. I mean, grown women, grown men, kids, Clearly, this guy touched a lot of people, and it's amazing what impact somebody can have and not even realize it for a wrestling character that they know is just a character, but there's still a connection there, and it doesn't even matter that, you know, hey, that this character you know isn't truly real, right? But your emotions override the logic, and it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter, you know? I mean, so it was just a hell of an emotional time. But with those lowlights and that little bit of a downer here in the show, I do want to bring it up with some of Eddie's much finer moments. So that was his final match with Mr. Kennedy. That was the last time we would actually see Eddie Guerrero in competition. And again, as I said, that was the best way that you could have gone out, from doing the thing that you would want people to remember you by and making lying, cheating, and stealing cool. And that's extremely hard to do and still remain a babyface, because, again, those are all traits of a heel, just qualities of just an awful person. Yet Eddie Guerrero's made it charming, and it was just great. So I wanted to pay a little tribute to Eddie Guerrero. I know it's about a month early, but it just felt right. I was in the Eddie Guerrero mood, you know. And again, it's been 14 years. It's crazy to think about. And it's something that, you know, I'm sure that many of you also have fond memories of. And you remember where you were when you got the news that Eddie was gone. But again, guys, thank you for listening. But, you know, there is some other news coming out the wire here, and a lot of CM Punk rumors of, you know, and I did a touch on this a little bit, but a lot of rumors floating around that CM Punk's coming back to WWE in a wrestling capacity. I just don't think that's the case. I mean, and maybe Punk is doing a good job of hiding his motives. And you know what? I would too if I was trying to make it a huge surprise and make it the most successful it could be by keeping it under wraps. And he has made it clear on a recent podcast that he doesn't intend on going back to wrestling. But, you know, he said that he's always open to offers. But he says when you know, people approach him about actually wrestling, he tends to shut that down. Look, and it seems like WWE and CM Punk are repairing their relationship from 5 years ago, certainly repairing their relationship, and it's heading in the right direction. If you're a believer that CM Punk could indeed have that another match in WWE, certainly head in the right direction, and it's definitely baby steps. But Punk is not a spring chicken. His body's probably in much better shape than it was certainly when he left WWE, so there is that. But he wouldn't be the future of WWE. He would be a WrestleMania one-off, and as it should be. And so maybe that's what we're clamoring for. But Punk is at a place, as he said, that he can pick and choose what he wants to do and that he's not chasing after anything. He's in a position where, you know, it's not just about the money, that it's about something that will serve him and not make him miserable. And it's about his happiness, and as it should be about his happiness, because he's at a point in his life where that is and should be the biggest factor of making any decision that he makes professionally in his life. So do I think Punk will have that one last match? 50-50. I'd give it a 50-50 chance. The fact that he's even doing business with WWE, and we all know it was just in a backstage capacity for some kind of backstage series Fox is doing for dumping $4 million into WWE. It's certainly a step in the right direction, a huge step, actually. I shouldn't even say baby step. That's a huge step in the direction of repairing the relationship. And we have to, again, do this in steps here and not just jump to him being in a match. But it's definitely progress if you're looking for that. And I don't even know who his opponent could be. I don't even want to speculate that yet. But certainly it is a step in the right direction. So just wanted to touch on that. But right now, guys, AEW Dynamite's on. I know this is not an AEW podcast, but tomorrow will be the very first one where Zach Perez, one of our fine hosts here, will be talking all about AEW and reviewing the Dynamite show, the very first one. Very excited to hear his comments. Very excited to hear what you guys have to think about it. And so check that out. That'll be being released tomorrow along with the typical WWE Week in Review co-host that is a standing show that is done every Thursday. So lots to get to tomorrow. Two shows coming your way tomorrow. Two. So yeah, it's going to be nuts. And then, of course, back Sunday with the SmackDown review. The Friday night SmackDown review will be done on Sundays. So yeah, a little backwards, but that's WWE's schedule now. So don't forget to tune in Sunday, and hopefully you will. We all will have things to talk about. I don't know how I'm going to wait a day and a half to get this to you, but or really 2 days. I'm going to have to sit on my thoughts. It's going to be difficult, but I will get them to you Sunday night. That's my recording schedule. You know, you're like, oh, why don't you just do it Saturday? Well, Saturdays I'm off work. I already do this show 4 days a week. Yeah, I need a day to turn my mind off, and so and get things done. But so that's why I'm doing it Sunday. It's going to be the same recording schedule. So, all right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight as we review a little bit of Eddie Guerrero's career. And I'd love to hear your thoughts, your memories, some of your favorite memories of Eddie Guerrero. Tweet them at the WWE podcast or email me at realwwepodcast.com. And of course, if you want your totally ad-free experience along with some exclusive video content, head on over to patreon.com/WWE podcast and get yourself signed up, and I'll give you a shout out on the show. You can even, depending on the tier you select, have a show completely designed for your questions or topic. How about that? You pick the topic and I will discuss it for the entire show. That's available on some of the tiers on patreon.com. So guys, thank you so much for listening. And again, I'll be back tomorrow with a double dose of the WWE and AEW podcast. Until then, I'll talk to you next time.